That's why I see him in my shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my shot. Shot, no shot is brought to you by the great people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Have some fun. Same game parlays. I came close yesterday. I hit every leg of a same game yesterday on the Sox game, except one. I had Dylan Cease for 10 strikeouts. He punched out 7.
No.
Yeah.
He just would have added the Sky victory. That would have been good.
That would have been really good. So, sorry about that.
That would be a fine.
That would be a fine.
A dollar to berniesbookbank.org,
I'm actually meeting with Darren today for the walk, give him the dollar.
Yeah. You got money on you?
Yeah, I got it. It's right in my pocket here.
Okay, you need to pull that out.
Anyway, download the PointsBet app. I'm going to give it to Darren.
No, but Twitch needs to see it.
Okay. I am going to meet with him today. Download the PointsBet app, and the promo code is Take That for 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000, and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app for horse gambling.
No, it's funny. The phone never goes off on TV, on Unfiltered. Never goes off. Never.
It has. Absolutely has.
$2.
Oh my God.
Cap.
$2.
All right, let me hit
none of that coughing ever happens on TV either, does it?
It's $2.
He's never laughing through a read on TV?
No, never.
I don't do reads.
You do reads on TV. You got ads there on the television.
No, we do not do reads on TV.
You don't have any ads.
They run, but I'm not reading them during the show.
Don't you have sponsored segments? Is the Cap It Off sponsored by someone?
Yeah, I just read the billboard. Brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
But there's no reads there. It's unbelievable. What are you talking about this morning?
I'm talking about the whole spot.
No, that's a whole spot. It might be short, but it's a whole spot. Do I have to teach you the business?
Just a billboard.
It's still a read. Aren't you reading the billboard? That'd be a read in this business.
I forgot to turn the phone off.
No. I'm talking about the TV. Chevy Drive Chicago. That's a read, pal. Even if it's a billboard, still a read. How about that?
How about that?
It's unbelievable.
We say good morning to Snorling.
Good Shay morning, Norling. Boys. How are we?
Not good. This man doesn't know what a billboard, doesn't know a billboard is also a read, even on TV.
Long time in the business, just figuring these things out, I guess.
Hall of Famer, everybody. Hall of Famer.
That's what it takes. Hoodie, how are we doing? The White Sox had a nice little weekend for you.
You're supposed to beat the A's. You're supposed to do that. You know where I am with this, Shay, is that I just want to know what Rick Hahn's going to say. In his one-hour press conference, you know, in the dugout, I don't want any excuses, right? I don't want his 15-minute answers to one question about what the White Sox didn't do. That's unacceptable at this point in time. I will not tolerate it.
Prices are going to be high.
Let's go.
Did you see what the Mariners gave up to get Luis Castillo, who you guys were scouting?
Yeah. Peralta?
Their number one prospect, their number three prospect, their number five prospect, and their system was loaded.
DePoto's going for it.
Imagine what Soto's going to cost after that Castillo trade.
God.
Good. When he's a Tiger, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing, Hoodie, is that might happen. They're going to trade like Tarek Skubal, Torkelson, Riley Green, and Casey Mize for Juan Soto, and then they're not going to pay him. And in 3 years, I'm just going to be watching another barren team.
I've been hearing on the weekend, like, Skubal is for sure going to be traded here.
Well, did you see what he did? And we'll get into Shot or No Shot, but very quickly, last week they had a Fire Al Day where the fans showed up and chanted Fire Al for the general manager.
Oh, my God.
And after the game, Skubal said, shout out to the fans. They were effing phenomenal.
Okay, you're gone. That's it. Then you're done.
Listen, he became even more my guy
because
you let this dead body GM oversee a rebuild and it fails and you don't fire him.
The fans were awesome.
We're not doing radio in Detroit. I don't want to get into it. We got to start doing Shot or No Shot.
Wow.
Here, boys.
All right.
Rock and roll.
Well, we talked about the Bears a little bit. We got derailed by Deshaun Watson. Of course, I want to get back into them because before training camps got underway, former NFL offensive lineman Ross Tucker ranked the NFL's offensive lines. He said, in his estimation, the Chicago Bears were by far the worst offensive line in football. However, he changed his tune, saying the additions of Riley Reiff and Michael Schofield provides the line with much-needed stability, and with Reiff, Schofield, Lucas Patrick, and Cody Whitehair, the offensive line now has 4, quote, competent linemen on it. Shot or no shot, the Bears no longer have the worst offensive line in football.
That's a shot.
Yeah, I'll go with that's a shot. Absolutely, that's a shot.
That's a shot. There's no question that when I look at this offensive line, listen, when you got a valuable swing tackle like Tevin Jenkins that's supposed to be a solid for this Bears team, they don't have the worst offensive line. At least that's the hope, right? That's what I'm hoping, that they're not the worst.
Yeah, they may be the third worst, but mm-hmm. they're not the worst.
Right.
Shay.
Our guy Albert Breer was at Bears camp over the weekend. He reported on Twitter that Justin Fields' footwork...
I thought he was supposed to stay at the house.
Looks like he forgot about that. I read that, too. He had five great notes about the Bears camp.
He did. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them was about Justin Fields' footwork, saying it was noticeably better. He was not the only person on the outside to say this. Former Bear QB Jim Miller said he came away shocked by the improvement he saw from Justin Fields in the footwork department. And there were also signs of a strong connection developing between Fields and rookie receiver Velus Jones, who burned Bears defensive backs with his speed for deep ball connections from Justin Fields. So my question, shot or no shot, Justin Fields will have a breakout year as the Bears quarterback.
What does that mean?
3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns.
That's a shot. That is a shot. Absolutely. I've been consistent that I think he's going to be a hell of a football player. I do. He just doesn't have enough around him right now. But yes, he will take huge steps. Yes.
I will say that he'll take a step, Cap. But again, it's all based on the weapons. And so I was like, a huge step? Okay, give me those parameters again, Shay. What's the numbers?
3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns.
Oh, my God. Last year was, what was it, Cap, 12-7? Something like that? How many touchdowns, how many interceptions? Something like 15-7?
I don't think he got that high.
What was it, Charlie? What was it last year?
Yes.
7 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Charlie's no help back here.
1,900 yards, 7 touchdowns, 10 picks.
So basically you're saying that he's going to take a huge step, and he's going to have the same year Mitchell Trubisky had in 2018.
That would be a huge step from where he was last year, and it's an added advantage, I think, that he's the number one starter on day one, which he was not a year ago.
Mitchell Trubisky in 2018, 3,223 yards, 24 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 95.4.
It's your boy.
How come this Charlie's giving me false information back here?
Charlie Cantu is a good man.
I understand, but Charlie didn't give me any information here.
Shay beat me to it.
He said yes. That's not the answer.
Correct.
All right. All right. That's all right, Cantu.
No shot.
Look at that.
Kind of
Disney employee is this Charlie Cantu back here?
Shay.
Hoodie, I want to ask you about the White Sox.
Yeah, go ahead.
As the Minnesota Twins have started to stumble, they dropped 2-3 to San Diego over the weekend and wrapped up a measly July record of 10-12. And their grasp on the AL Central is slipping. Their lead is just one game over Cleveland. And our White Sox, watch out, 2 games out of first place after a 17-11 month of July. With the easiest part of their schedule coming up, by my count yesterday, they will play just 4 teams that are currently over 500 for the remainder of the season. So my question, I think you know where I'm going. Shot or no shot, the Chicago White Sox will win the American League Central.
That's a shot. I've been saying it until I'm blue in the face. That's a shot. Now, if you tell me the Twins go out and acquire Juan Soto and, you know, Jacob DeGrom, okay, I might revise that. But I don't believe that's going to happen. I do believe Rick's going to make a minimum of 2 trades. He'll help your bullpen, and he will add potentially a starting pitcher and maybe even a bench bat. That could be 3 deals. And I believe that they will indeed win the American League Central.
Okay. So, Shay, I will say shot, because that was my original prediction in March, that they would make the playoffs. There are 2.5 games out in the wild card. I think the way they get in the playoffs is to overtake and win the division. So I won't go backwards now. I'm going to go with my first thought in March, is that the Sox would win the division. So that's a shot. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm not going to change my mind now. Even though I'm not happy with the team, I think they should be better than 51-50, besides the injuries and all the issues with this team. We'll get into it a little bit later on. But I will say shot, because that was my original thought.
Speaking of original thoughts, Cap, are you willing to stick with the win the World Series prediction, or are you walking that one back a little bit?
I don't have to make a pick right now.
But you made it in March, though.
I made it in March. So, no, I'm not walking anything back. That would just be weak. I'll just stick with what I've got. When we get to the playoffs, if they're not there, then I make my postseason pick. But no, I'm not going to be that guy that jumps off the bandwagon. No.
So you got a ticket for the Mets, or?
I do not.
What's your ticket on?
I have a ticket where I do the championship parlays. I take a champion in every sport and parlay it.
Yeah.
And I believe I have one that has the Yankees in it and one that has the Astros in it. Mm. I think.
When roll the dice on the Sox in that parlay?
I had multiple ones. The problem was I had the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, and they lost in the final.
So that rips up that ticket.
Correct.
Those tickets.
Out.
Okay.
Beat it.
Yeah. I didn't go as far as you as saying that the White Sox are going to win the World Series. I thought they'd be another step on the ladder, more than just first round and out. That was my thought coming in. I saw the roster. I thought, this is going to be good. And this is without the knowledge of knowing that Cease would be my number one. Playoffs start today. Cease is my number one starter.
Oh, it's not even close.
And Lynn's down the track, quite frankly.
Yes.
I mean, that's not what I thought. I didn't know it was going to be like that coming into the season.
That's why Rick is looking for starting pitching. Yes.
Quintana.
That's shopping at the bargain basement, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, it's throwing in the cart.
Yeah, it's like
dollar store.
Do you want to come back here?
Oh, the Mariners are getting Luis Castillo.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, like Payless Shoe Source? You get a banged up pair of heels or something?
Yes, you do.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right. That's what it is, man. But I expect better, Shay. And if it's not what I'm looking for, he's going to get blasted. He meaning Rick Hahn. Because it starts with him.
Yep.
Shay.
All right, boys, we said goodbye to Trailblazer Nichelle Nichols over the weekend. Nichols played Lieutenant Uhura in the original television run of Star Trek, with Martin Luther King Jr. saying it was the first, quote, non-stereotypical portrayal of a black woman on television. She's also known for partaking in the first interracial kiss on television, and after her time on Star Trek, dedicated her life to the space program, where she helped recruit the first Jewish astronaut. Thanks in very large part to the groundbreaking performance of Nichelle Nichols, Shot or No Shot, the original Star Trek remains on the Mount Rushmore of sci-fi television.
Yeah, again, I'm not a Star Trek guy, but yes, I read about her life all weekend. Yes, wildly accomplished, and congratulations to her family on her amazing career and our sympathies on her loss. She was a Chicago lady, and from what I heard, as classy as they came.
Yeah, that would be a shot for me, because when you're one of the first, you always deserve to have that billing. And to know that she was a pioneer in television, and during a time in which there's televisions, stations in the South that did not want to air Star Trek because of her interracial kiss with Shatner. It's like they didn't want that on the TV in the 60s. They didn't want that.
Right.
And so I'm proud of her accomplishments as a Chicagoan. She grew up in Robin. She went to Inglewood High School. And so I'm really happy for her. So, yeah, she would definitely be there for me. I mean, that's a story that was not overshadowed to me, Cap, because, again, when you're a pioneer, one of the first to ever do something like this, being on television, there's very few during that time. Like Diane Carroll with Julia. Remember that TV show?
Oh, yeah.
Single mom with a little kid named Corey. It's just like,
right.
It was such a rare thing back then. And to see her in that spot, it was so great. And so even after she was done with Star Trek, you know, she was going to quit. Dr. King's like, no, we need you on there, because it's one of the few shows that I can watch with my kids.
Correct. It's good for us.
So all the best to Nichelle Nichols, who's passed away, and her family.
NBA legend Bill Russell passed away at 88 yesterday. We will pay our respects to him. And more of your calls on Deshaun Watson's suspension. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's 8:20 in the morning. Hope your week is off to a great start. 312-332-3776. The breaking news this morning, the sounder went off. Deshaun Watson suspended 6 games by arbitrator Sue L. Robinson. The NFLPA said they will not appeal. The NFL has not yet weighed in if they are going to do just that.
Cap, we have silly debates that we see on television, and we have them here at ESPN 1000 all the time about the GOAT, right? The greatest of all time. Who's better, who's best in the NBA? But you know, in that conversation, we never get to Bill Russell, who passed away over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. At 88 years of age.
Get all those questions about who the great is. And so you think about someone who's won 13 championships, 11 as a player, 2 as a coach. The first black head coach. Think about how much history that Bill Russell has brought to us as sports fans. First black coach playing with the Boston Celtics. The only player to play in at least 10 game sevens and not lose a single one. When his back was against the wall in college and in the pros, Bill Russell came out on top as a champion. You think about this. Also put in perspective, and you know this better than anybody about college basketball. I could always go to you for this. How powerful UCLA was when he played.
Unbelievable.
And he won 2 championships with San Francisco.
And that was the only school that offered him a scholarship.
Think about that. Now, there was no Duke. Now, Duke and North Carolina was not a thing as far as them winning championships during that time. Because everything was to UCLA in Kansas.
Uh-huh.
He went to San Francisco and won 2 championships.
Correct.
Think about that.
He was amazing. Amazing. They showed a picture yesterday of him with rings on every finger, and I think multiple rings on more than one finger.
Yeah, I mean, you got 13, so you got to put 2 on one finger.
Yeah.
13. Cool. All we do is ring chase and count rings and say who's great, you know, Michael Jordan or Kareem and all. What about Bill Russell? How great was Bill Russell? And he's passed away, but leaves such a legacy, right? Think about this. A 5-time NBA champion, a 5-time MVP, a 12-time All-Star, a 12-time NBA Finals Series, 2-time NBA champion as a coach. You know, in an era today in which athletes use their platform for change, Russell was one of the pioneers for racial equality and social justice at a point that was really, really needed. And so he was a voice that mattered, Cap. He was a voice that mattered.
He was not afraid to take on uncomfortable topics. He was an activist. He was an amazing player. He was a coach. I got to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Very cool. We didn't have iPhones back then. Right. I didn't have a camera with me. Like, if I could go back throughout my career and just have an iPhone with me with a camera right there,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, the photos I would have would be insane.
I think about just his legacy outside of just being a basketball player, though, because in the racial unrest that he grew up with in the Deep South and the insults, Cap, that he dealt with, the threats on his life, the resentment that was out there just because of his skin color, because of the person that he was.
Correct.
It was just amazing. I know the story in 1961 in which the Boston Celtics played an exhibition game in Kentucky. And the people that owned the restaurant would not serve Bill Russell. And so the players walked out, and they didn't even play the exhibition game in Kentucky. They went back to Boston. It's like, if you're not going to serve Bill Russell, that means you're not going to serve the rest of us, so we'll just leave. In Kentucky in 1961. And so it's more than just him putting the ball in the hoop and how he can go coast to coast and all of his accomplishments as a basketball player. What resonates with me the most, Cap, is the person that he was. And in times it was very uncomfortable. He dealt with that at home. He dealt with that as a Celtic. And after his days with the Celtics, still dealt with it. All of the racial epithets and stuff that was sprayed on his home, stuff like that, N-word, all this stuff. And he dealt with it. And he fought. And so the iconic picture that comes to mind for me is back in 1967, the Cleveland Summit with Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Jim Brown. You've seen this picture before.
I have.
All 4 of them at the table being able to talk about the issues of the day of 1967. He was not built, Cap, to just shut up and dribble. He was there to be able to unify and make change. That's what he was there for.
I also thought it was very cool when President Obama, I think Bill was, 77 at the time, got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
And he put it around his neck, and you could see the emotion on Bill Russell, like, oh, my God. A black man from a black president. It was really, just heartwarming to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, to me, when I saw that he passed away peacefully with his family, with his wife, my thought was, obviously, with his family. But just think about everything that he's endured, Cap, just based on his skin color.
Correct.
Everything that he dealt with. It's not just him being tall, because he had to deal with that, too. Like, he's, you're just this big guy that we could pick on you. But then to be able to go from where he lived in the South to living 15 miles away from Boston, and to be able to have his house ransacked and have, spray paint put on his home, with all these racial epithets, all this negative stuff he dealt with, and he just kept moving forward.
Correct.
Kept moving forward. It meant that much to him. Say, you know what? I'm not going to let this bother me, because we're going to come out whole on the other side, because I'm going to speak about this. And I know that outside of what an athlete does, it bothers some people when they talk about prejudice and culture and race and everything else that's under that umbrella. But, sometimes you just need a leader to step up. And because it's Bill Russell, you watch him and you listen to his words, eloquent. In his words, and understanding that we all need to come together. Why are you against me because I'm tall and black? Why?
That was his question.
Why is that? And so that's why it was important for all of the superstars of color to come together to be able to speak about this on the record. And again, we get now people that say, I don't care about what athletes think. I just want them to win championships.
Just shut up and dribble.
That's not how it works.
Correct.
That's not how it works, especially if you've got the stomach for it. And Russell definitely had the stomach for it.
He absolutely did. So deepest sympathies to the family. He was an amazing, amazing person on top of being an incredible basketball player.
So from a sports standpoint, we don't talk about Russell about his 11 championships because I know as a sports fan.
Right. You said 13. Two were as a coach.
I did say
11 as a player.
Yeah. I started off by saying 13 championships, 11 as a player.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is that when we look at the all-time greats, we believe that Jordan is the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way everything he did, 6 championships, right, in 8 seasons.
6 finals MVPs.
He's going to win 8, right? He's going to win 8 of 8?
Yes.
He's going to get past Olajuwon?
Yes.
Okay. Sure?
No, but... The record said that he did.
Hold on a second. Was he going to get past Olajuwon? Was Cartwright going to be able to match up with Olajuwon? Was Cartwright going to have enough elbows to slow down Olajuwon in that spot? Don't think so.
I'll say yes.
Okay. But we see him as the greatest winner, right? Jordan's the greatest winner that you and I have ever seen in our lifetime.
Correct.
So where's Russell with that? Or is that just a different era where you just say you put him in a special category?
I have him top 10 players of all time.
Is he in your top 5?
No.
That's Chamberlain, right?
I have Michael there.
Yeah.
I have Wilt there. I have Kareem there. I have Magic there. And
did you have Bird there?
No. Okay. I had Bird 7.
Yeah.
Who did I have number 5? I think I had Kobe up number 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all great players.
Yeah.
I think I had Bill Russell 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I had. I'd have to go back and...
That's pretty special, though, how many championships that he won, though.
Incredible.
I mean, it's a lot of championships. I guess my point is, though, is that when we talk about the all-time greats, Russell has to be there. If you're just ring chasing, if you're just counting rings, I mean, why isn't Russell in that conversation? It's because he was in a different era where he and Chamberlain are the only two bigs that were roaming the earth that were skilled.
Yeah, it was a different game back then, and they were just incredibly good and incredibly big. Jesse Rogers on the trade deadline. Is that sounder going to go off on this show? I'm sure it's going to go off today or tomorrow on this station. Will it go off on this show? We'll find out the latest on the White Sox and the Cubs. That's next. Breathe better, sleep better, have a happy spouse. Visit Sinus and Snoring MD like I did and relieve your breathing issues. Hey, this is Cap. I visited Sinus and Snoring MD's offices. Man, am I glad I did. Doctor so friendly, gave me his personal cell phone number in case I had any issues or my wife or I had any questions. It's an easy process, but mostly I'm breathing and sleeping better, and the snoring has stopped. And so is Mindy. Remember the happy spouse part that I mentioned? Are you experiencing nasal congestion, snoring, any other breathing issue? Just go for the appointment. Get the consult now. Sinus and Snoring MD. .com. Sinus and Snoring MD. .com.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Couple quick notes. I forgot to mention I have LeBron number two. I kind of skipped over him.
He's in your top five.
Yes. Yep. So LeBron is there. Not close to Michael, but he's there. And our friend Stuart from sales upstairs, mm-hmm. he used to work for the Celtics. He said after the Bulls won their second championship, Michael ran into Bill Russell at the American Airlines Golf Classic. Michael said, "Hey, I'm going after your records." Bill said, "Which one? 8 in a row or 11 in 13 years?"
Exactly right.
Pretty good.
Think about that. He had 11 championships as a player. Michael only had 6.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And I don't think Charlotte's close.
No, not at all.
And that would be as an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Rogers is our baseball insider here at ESPN 1000, and he's kind enough to join us for an extended chat this morning with the trade deadline a little more than 24 hours away. 5 o'clock Central Time tomorrow afternoon is when deals must be completed by, and there are no more waiver deals like the end of August. No, that is all gone. This is it, your last chance to add on. Jesse, good morning to you. Let's start with the White Sox. How busy will Rick be? There are a lot of people feel like, they're only 2 games out this morning. Not a great team. You're not going to win anything, so don't give away your best prospects. There are others that look at Atlanta from a year ago, 3 under in early August. They added on intelligently, and they won the World Series.
Yeah, I don't think they're going big game hunting necessarily. I was talking to Jeff Miller on White Sox Weekly about that. They probably don't have the farm system to go out and get the biggest names, and they don't need them. Like, that's the thing. They are getting healthy, and if a healthy White Sox roster can do what their talent says they can do, this team should win the division, right? They have the pieces to do it. They're a little unbalanced in the lineup, so I can tell you they've been looking for that left-handed bat. For example, they were in on Tyler Naquin, who went from Cincinnati to New York, but they were not in on David Peralta. And I think the reasoning is Peralta is strictly a left fielder. Naquin can play center or right. So obviously if Robert's healthy, they don't need a center fielder. So they are looking for a lefty bat that can play some right field, probably play it better than Gavin Sheets, you know, late in the game, even if a guy doesn't start. So think about a player of Naquin's ability. And there's not that many lefties left out there that are any good. So, you know, like you mentioned last week, Ralphie Ortega of the Cubs. There's Cal Calhoun of the Texas Rangers. I actually suggested something here that I just wrote. What if you traded A.J. Pollock and a couple, one or two prospects to San Francisco for Jock Peterson, who the Sox have liked for a long time? And you're just swapping a right-handed bat for a left-handed bat. The Giants can still compete this year for the wild card with Pollock, and they get a prospect or two because Peterson's a better player. So I'm trying to find a lefty bat. They are looking for one. They missed on Naquin. We'll see if they get another one. And then, of course, the bullpen. We talked about that last week as well. I'd be shocked if they don't add a lefty and a righty.
You've been hammering Han on that left-handed bat, and rightfully so. He knows that you've been hammering on because – you know, as much as I like the signing of Pollock from the right side, you've needed this for a long time. If they don't address that, Jesse, what's the chances for the White Sox? It's more than the health. It's just added offense. You need that for this team.
I talked to an executive about this because I'm working on a left-handed hitting thing, and he said, look, you can overcome it if you're great in other areas, but you have to be great in other areas. Offensively or on the mound. And right now the Sox aren't great at other areas. Plus, he said, you can overcome it now, but it really shows up in the playoffs just as it did last year for this very team. The righties got neutralized. So that's, I mean, at least they're looking for a lefty bat. I mean, I was able to confirm that. So that's good that they recognize they need it. I mean, anybody that looks at the stats can tell you that they don't hit righties as well as you'd like. So, yeah, they're trying, and it's more helpful, in fact, in the playoffs than you even need in the regular season. They might win the division as is, but you need this sort of stuff in the playoffs. Now, they do need bullpen help to win the division, though, because, again, arms are going to start falling off if they keep going to Graveman, they keep going to Kelly. They're going to need another arm for high leverage, and I think they'll get one. It's just a matter of how good of an arm can they get. Last year, they went out and tried to get the best one. I'm sure they're trying to do the same right now.
Thank you very much, Cap, for paying your fine. Is there a need for you to clear out the beak on the mic?
I thought
it's
I
so
had
disgusting.
It off. I thought I had it off.
I mean, my God, man.
I turned off the mic.
It's one thing for you to sneeze. All right. I'm not going to fine you for sneezing. But the idea. Oh, sinus is snoring. Much
it
better.
Sound like he got in a fight with the microphone.
It's awful. It's just disgusting.
Jesse, I hit the wrong button as I was sneezing. And
oh, my
I
God.
Got it. I turned it off and then quickly turned it back on and then went, oh, God.
Oh, God. Much better. Much better. You don't have to. I mean, just awful and disgusting. Seriously. And again, once again, never on TV, just for the radio. I mean, it's exclusive. It's unbelievable. I mean, just clearing out the beak. Oh, God. Better.
Yeah, I didn't know
better.
What that was.
What are you doing?
Jesse, let's talk about the Cubs.
Yeah.
They have got to make, in my mind, five deals. Martin's already gone. I gave you a 5.5 over under. Chris Martin's already gone for the biggest Lou Malnati's fan next to me in town, Zach McKinstry, who gave a ton. You see, his first post, thrilled to be a Cub. Now I get to eat more Lou Malnati's, basically what he said.
Yeah.
So my wife reached out on Instagram. They're going to hook him up with pizza. Okay, that deal's done. That's not a huge impact deal. No. Wilson Contreras, Ian Happ.
Yes.
Robertson.
David Robertson, yeah. Drew Smiley. Does Wisdom go? Does Ortega go? Like, how big is this going to get?
It could even be Wade Miley, who's hardly pitched, but he's on his way back if some team wants a flyer and will eat some money. It's crazy. I think it's going to get big. And we saw last year, Jed did it within 24 hours. And he'll probably do it again here. I even heard Scott Efros last night, who I didn't think was going to get moved. He's a good sidearm righty and has plenty of team control. Look for him to possibly be moved sooner rather than later. So Efros, Givens, Robertson. Look, I think some of it is waiting for Juan Soto. I mentioned this on Friday. Nothing's changed. The Padres are in on all those Cub players and Juan Soto. So if they don't trade for Juan Soto, and I don't think they will, now Jed has another trade partner, A.J. Preller. Packages are being discussed. That's going to make it a little bit easier and makes it for a bigger return. So Contreras and Robertson, I think, to the Mets is a real chance, or both of those guys to the Padres. The Braves want Ian Happ. Though a couple people have told me the Padres want Ian Happ. So we're in a standstill until we figure out this Juan Soto deal, because that's what A.J. Preller is waiting on. And as that gets figured out, then the floodgates will truly open.
So Tim Anderson suspended for 3 games. Also, some more thoughts about the Cubs and trades they can make, as well as a baseball weekend with Jesse Rogers, brought to you by Design First Builders. Jesse with us with more coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on Cap Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. We continue our in-depth trade deadline conversation with our friend Jesse Rogers. Okay, Jesse, back to the trade discussions. How much of Juan Soto is holding up everything else in the industry?
A lot of it, because of what I said before. The Padres mostly. Look, the Dodgers, if they trade for Juan Soto, that's not holding it up, because the Dodgers aren't looking for a lot of other things. The Padres are looking for a lot of other things. I don't think the Cardinals are going to trade for Juan Soto, because they actually just need pitching right now, and that wouldn't solve anything except you'd have Juan Soto, which is great. So it's really about the Padres' interest in Juan Soto, and if they don't get him, I said on the air and on Baseball Tonight, I think at least one or two Cubs are going to end up in San Diego if Juan Soto doesn't. So, yes, he's holding it up for one team that I can tell, and that is the San Diego Padres, but they're holding it up for a bunch of other deals that could possibly happen.
With Tim Anderson's suspension, I know you saw it when it happened, when he goes face-to-face with the umpire, clips the bill of the cap, and now three-game suspension. So what does that do for the White Sox? I mean, with him out of the lineup, usually the Sox don't play very well. What do you think happens now?
Yeah, well, first of all, he's appealing it. He might get it reduced to two games, but I was told when this came down that because he's a repeat offender, he may not. It may end up being three. He already served two this year for bumping the ump last year. So it might stick at three. Now you got to be strategic about when you choose those three games. First of all, I would do it when Luis Robert returns. That could be tonight. Would you sit him against these, you know, the Royals, these three games? Maybe. Or maybe you do the opposite, guys. What do you think? Sit him against the Houston Astros at home. You're probably not going to win all four of those games. Maybe you sit him against the great team and you have him for the bad teams. Or you sit him against the bad team and you have him for the Astros later in the month. I don't know. But what I would do is wait until I'm almost completely healthy. And you are almost healthy as long as Robert is back tonight. I hope he's back tonight. I saw that he was in the locker room yesterday, but he's had this mysterious illness. So if he's not back tonight, maybe he's back very soon. But at the very least, I'd wait until he's back. But you got to find the right moment to sit him. Maybe you sit him, you know, where there's a day game after a night game when he wasn't going to play both games anyway. So at least you get one there, and then you sit him two more. The Royals, they have a doubleheader against the Royals next week, for example. So you need to be strategic about it because they are not the same team when he's out of the lineup.
Trade chips. The Cubs don't have to worry about having trade chips to acquire. They got the chips to move. But the White Sox, if he truly believes his team can make a run, win the division, get in the tournament, you never know what happens. What is Rick's biggest trade chip that he's got to maximize?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say it's Oscar Colas, right? And I mean, at least from the minor league side, Colson Montgomery just moved into the top 100. There's guys at the lower levels that, you know, I'm not as up on as maybe some other people are that would add to the mix. But entering the season, they were ranked 30th via MLB and ESPN, their farm system. Now, that's just media rankings. That doesn't mean around the league they're viewed that way, but that's the way Kylie McDaniel from ESPN and Keith Law from The Athletic, the MLB.com guy ranked them 30th coming in. So it's not like you have a plethora of top-end prospects you can move, but Oscar Colas and Colson Montgomery would be the guys that people would be interested in for sure. Now, you could also move someone from the major league team. You know, it could be Gavin Sheets, although he's your big lefty threat. You saw him basically win a game over the weekend. You know, there's some other guys you could possibly move, but those are the couple names from the minors. But I'm not sure that Rick's ready to give up on any of their top prospects. They've got a bunch of free agents in the coming years. They got to keep this thing rolling. But look, if it's that guy that's going to get you over the top, and I'm not exactly sure who that would be, then you'd have to consider moving a top prospect. So it's not the best farm system, at least again through media rankings, for Rick Hahn to be dealing from.
Jesse, looking at the American League East with the Yankees, the Jays, and the Rays, now we know, and at least from my standpoint, the Red Sox are out of it. Are the Orioles going to make any moves here?
I don't think they're going to do much. I think they might add and subtract at the same time. I don't think they're pushing all in, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. I think they're kind of going to roll the dice. If they're good enough to sneak in, great. If not, it's a building block season. So they're not doing anything big, and they may actually subtract.
Only reason why I ask is because I know you know Hyde, the manager. They've had a charmed season. They're three games out of the wild card. You know, we keep talking about the White Sox and what they got to push to try to win the division. I think if they're going to get to the playoffs, they're going to be through the division. I wonder, do the Orioles look at it and say, hey, you were three games out of the wild card. If we added a little bit, we can make a nice push here.
Yeah, maybe. You know, their pitching has been out of this world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it can continue. I don't know if they can keep this up. But I could see them just being out on the outside edges of the playoff race, and that might be good enough for them, Jay Hood. Cleveland's in a similar spot. Like, what exactly? Now, Cleveland's one game out of the division.
Right.
I've talked to rival executives. Like, no one knows what Cleveland's going to do. I mean, Wilson Contreras would be a perfect fit for them, but I've heard no traction there. It doesn't sound like Cleveland's going to do anything big. I don't even know what Minnesota's going to do. There's no way the Twins can go to battle with that starting staff, at least in the playoffs. Maybe they can win the division, but that starting staff is nothing special. So I'm interested in Minnesota, Cleveland, the White Sox. What is going to happen over the next 24 hours for them? And you're right, the other teams on the outside of the wild card race, like Baltimore. What's Boston going to do? They're 3.5 out, but look terrible.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of jockeying position here over these next 24 hours. Who's going to get the best relievers? That's number one. Because that, and then can the Twins add to their starting staff? That's another question that I have. It's a fascinating race in that AL Central. It really is for the arms over the next 24 hours, and then just in the standings down the stretch.
Cap, real quickly with Juan Soto. Okay, so just on the surface, I'm thinking if you're a ball club that's not going anywhere, and you've got a good farm system, and you got a few good players on your major league roster. Wouldn't that be the team to trade for Soto instead of someone that's vying for the World Series? Like it won't be the Dodgers. It won't be a top shelf, top level team.
Well, this just tweeted while we're talking.
Okay,
Bob Nightingale. While the Padres and Cardinals have been considered the front runners for Soto, the Dodgers much more aggressive of late in their trade proposals.
This is not surprising. I said this on Buster's podcast this morning and over the weekend. I think it's the Dodgers or bust. I don't think the Padres have enough. I don't think the Cardinals have they could do it, but I don't think they want to do it. It's the Dodgers, or he takes this to the winter meetings and listens to the Yankees and the Mets and all the big boys.
Well,
minor
league talent and guys off league talent?
No, both. That's the beauty of the Dodgers.
Gavin Lux and
those kind of guys.
The kid Dustin May. They got pieces. Hey, we got to roll.
Yep. Okay, guys.
Have a great day.
I'll be in studio today with Carmen. Talk to you later.
All right, have fun.
You got it.
That is Jesse Rogers.
Brought to you by Design First Builders. Jesse will be on at noon with Carmen. I'm sure there'll be some news breaking during that show.
Well, you would think. First week of Bears camp in the books, plus Deshaun Watson suspended. 6 games. We're discussing all this with you. Your calls, 312-332-3776, and watch us on Twitch today and every day at twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Be right back.